بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We continue inshallah in the chapter of funerals. We stopped at باب التعزية وزيارة القبور, consoling the relatives. He said رحمه الله ويستحب تعزية أهل الميت. Consoling the relatives of the deceased is recommended. So here رحمه الله, he said it is recommended to console the family of the deceased. طيب, and what is the دليل that it is مستحب? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith that he is collected by Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah and others, which is, has some weakness in it. He said rahimahullah, ما من مؤمن يعزي أخاه بمصيبة إلا كساه الله عز وجل من حلل الكرامة يوم القيامة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said there is no believer who gives condolences to his brother in a calamity that has stricken him, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dress him with a garment of honor on the day of judgment. Of course, the matter, there is no difference of opinion amongst the ulama that it is preferred to console and give your condolences to a family that have lost a member or at the time of death. This is no khilaf amongst the ulama that it is mustahab, as it is mentioned by Shamsuddin ibn Qudama fi Sharh al-Kabir. He said, rahmatullahi alayh, wala na'lamu fihi khilafa. We do not know that there is a difference of opinion about this matter. At the time of ta'ziyah, what is the best thing to say? The best thing to say, isbir wahtasib fa inna lillahi ma akhadha wa lillahi ma a'ta wa kulla shay'in 'indahu bi ajalin musamma, collected by Bukhari and Muslim. To say, اصبر واحتسب, be patient and seek the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, to Allah what He took, and for Him what He gave, and everything to Him by an appointed time. Also in another one, عن أسامة بن زيد قال أرسلت بنت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ابنا لقبض. He said the daughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent to him by saying, I have a son that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life. Fa'atina, come to us. Fa'arsala yuqri'u salam. So the Messenger sallam sent, giving his salam. Wa yaqul, and he said, Inna lillahi ma akhadha wa lillahi ma a'ta wa kulla shay'in 'indahu bi ajalin musamma faltasbir wal tahtasib. Muttafaqun alayh. He said to say, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed to Allah what He has taken, and to Him what He has given, and everything to Him by an appointed time. Let her be patient and seek reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, here, are we allowed to gather at the house of someone who had a family member passes away? Are we allowed to do that? Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, radiyallahu anhu, as it is authentically narrated from him, he said, in the hadith collected by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah fi Sunan, he said, كُنَّا نَعُدُّ الْإِجْتِمَاعَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْمَيِّتِ وَصَنِيعَةُ الطَّعَامِ بَعْدَ دَفْنِهِ مِنَ النِّيَاحَةِ. He said, we used to consider meeting at the house of أَهْلُ الْمَيِّتِ, the house of the deceased, and to make food for them after he has died, from an-niyaha, from considered as wailing, and from an-niyaha. Al-Imam al-Sindi rahimahullah, he said on his commentary on the book Aun al-Ma'bud rahimahullah, he said hadha bimanzilati riwayati ijma'i as-sahaba, which is the part kunna nara, we used to see in that hadith we used to see and we used to consider. That means he's talking about the companions all of them radiyallahu anhum. Jarir, when he said, we used to see and we used to consider, he's talking about the companions. So here Imam al-Sindi, he used that to say, this is to the level of the consensus of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, or it is taqreer min al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, taqreer min al-Nabi, meaning this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved for. And wa'ala al-thani fahukmuhu al-rafa'. And according to the second part, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he approved to that. He said fahukmuhu al-rafa', as if it is an order from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa'ala al-taqdeerain fahuwa hujjah. He said, regardless for both cases, it is a proof. It is a proof. And the hadith, of course, hadith Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, he said, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said, it is authentic, and the men of it, according to the condition of Imam Muslim. So here we see that there is a strong proof. The ulama, they use about not to meet in the house of the deceased and to meet and give condolences in his house. Secondly, they said also it excite and incite sadness. Mimma يعني يهيج على الحزن, makes the family, it incites the family to cry and wail and so on. So some ulama, as you see, said it is not allowed at all. Now, another group of ulama, they said it is, so this group of ulama, they said it is makruh, which is because of the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, and so. The second opinion, that it is allowed, it is one narration from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, it is narrated in the Insaf by al-Mardawi, and it is the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. Ibn al-Humam, rahimahullah, he said in Sharh Fath al-Qadir, he said, and it is allowed to stay at home for the calamity for the period of 3 days. But he said something, وَهُوَ خِلَافُ الْأَوْلَى وَيُكْرَهُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. He said, it is against al-awla, meaning it is better not to do so, and it is makruh, disliked, to sit in the masjid. So this is according to the first opinion who allowed it, they did not allow it in the masjid. And also the second opinion, which is we spoke about and said, it is totally makruh at home, min bab awla, also they do not allow it to stay in the masjid as people do today. They sit down in the masjid and they do Yasin, wal Quran, al Hakim, and they distribute kanafa, halwa, and so on. This is all the ulama dislike it and they say makruh, and some have said it is a bid'ah and innovation. It is bad innovation. Also, Ibn Abidin rahimahullah, he said in the Hashia from the Ahnaf, وَقَالَ كَثِيرٌ مِّن مُتَأَخِّرِينَ أَئِمَّتِنَا يُكْرَهُ الْإِجْتِمَاعُ عِنْدَ صَاحِبِ الْبَيْتِ. He said, a lot of the later Ahnaf scholars, they said it is disliked to meet at the place of the owner of the house, meaning the person who has a family member who passed away, to meet inside his house or the house of the deceased. طيب, here he said, وَيُكْرَهُ لَهُ الْجُلُوسُ فِي بَيْتِهِ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُعَزِّي. And he said, also he continued to say, he said, it is disliked for him to stay in his house, so the people, for the reason that the people come and give him condolences. بَلْ إِذَا فَرَغَ وَرَجَعَ النَّاسُ مِنَ الدَّفْنِ. He said, rahimahullah, what it should be done when they finish, meaning burying the deceased, and the people go back from the burial, he said, فَلْيَتَفَرَّقُوا وَيَشْتَغِلَ النَّاسُ بِأُمُورِهِمْ وَصَاحِبِ الْبَيْتِ بِأَمْرِهِ. He said, let the people disperse, and they go get busy with their daily affairs, and the owner of the house to go get busy with what he is, yani with his own affairs. Also, Al-Muwaffaq ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he said in Al-Kafi, he said, وَيُكْرَهُ الْجُلُوسُ لَهَا, meaning, he said, it is disliked to stay at home or stay for it, meaning the ta'ziyah, لِأَنَّهُ مُحْدَثُ, because it is a bid'ah innovation. Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah also said in Zad al-Ma'ad, he said, وكان من هديه صلى الله عليه وسلم تعزية أهل الميت. It is from the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to give ta'ziyah to the people of the deceased. ولم يكن من هديه أن يجتمع للعزاء. And it's not from his guidance to meet for the عزاء. ويقرأ له القرآن or to read for it the Quran لا عند مقبرة ولا غيره. Not in a grave or any other places. وكل هذا بدعة حادثة مكروهة. And all of this is a bid'ah, innovation, makruha, dislike. So as you see here, يعني, there is no strong foundation in all of that to allow sitting at home and receive the condolences and wait for the people and make coffee and teas and everything. On the contrary, what it should be done, whenever you see the person, you give him your condolences. If you see him on the street, in the markets and that, you give him condolences and for 3 days. You give him your condolences once and for 3 days. Now, there is here some fatawi for the modern ulama because of, unfortunately, we are not close as we used to be, and sometimes people can come from different places or from far away, especially if when we live here in Sydney or somewhere in the West. There are some fatawi of the fatwa of Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz rahimahullah in his collection of fatawi, and also the Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Jibreen in some of his lessons. They said that it is allowed to the family of the deceased to meet in one house or a different place. This way people can come and give him condolences, meaning to appoint a day and appoint a place, just to make it easier for the people, because it is not like what it used to be, where the communities are close to each other and the people can see each other easily. Today we live in a world that it's very hard to meet each other or to give condolences to each other. So to appoint a day where all the family can come, the family of the deceased, and sit in the house and people come and give him condolences, but not in the masjid, inside the house. Also, Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, it is allowed for the family of the deceased, after they bury the deceased, to stand in the graveyard in line or on the door of the graveyard to take condolences, because it's easier for everyone, because they already gathered there, so they don't have to go at home and redo all of that again. You can give them the condolences there, and then they line up on the door of the graveyard or somewhere in the graveyard. They take the condolences from the people, and this is it, and it is all done. And this is the fatwa of Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah about this matter. And also, he said it is not allowed to stay in the masjid and take condolences in the masjid. They have said, and I believe, wallahu a'lam, that it is easier for the people at the moment. It is easier for the people at the moment. Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said something. He said, rahimahullah, in Zad Al-Mustaqni', in his commentary on Zad Al-Mustaqni', ويسن أن يصلح لأهل الميت طعام يبعث به إليهم ثلاثة أيام. It is sunnah that the people would make food for the people of the deceased and send to them for the period of 3 days, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اصنعوا لآل جعفر طعاما فقد جاءهم ما يشغلهم. رواه أحمد والترمذي, and he said it is حسن الترمذي. He said, make for the family of Ja'far food, because came to them what occupies them. Of course, in this, there are some traditions, like, for example, in Indians and Pakistani tradition, as I know from that they everyone makes them food and they send them food until they have nowhere to put all this food coming. Of course, here, what does it mean? Why? What is the illah behind the hadith, the reason behind the hadith? That these people are busy. For example, someone passed away within your family. You want to wash the deceased, you want to bury him, you want to do things. And you have also kids and children. So you need that time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, because they were busy with preparing for Ja'far radiallahu anhu, because Ja'far radiallahu anhu passed away, they are busy with that. So make for them food because they're busy. But for everyone to send food and then they have overload of food and become like a feast, that is not what is intended. It's intended to help them. Sometimes could be help in a different way, like to drive them around, to take them to the funeral parlor or whatever to watch the deceased, to help them with things sometimes. It's not only to provide food for them. And this is the hadith and the illah behind it. So we understand now, to summarize everything, the ulama are on two opinion. On two opinion. One opinion that said it can be done, وَهُوَ خِلَافُ الْأَوْلَى. It is خِلَافُ الْأَوْلَى. It is better not to do, which is you're not meant to do that. And the second opinion said it is totally makruh. We have an opinion of the modern ulama like Sheikh bin Baz and Jibreen, may Allah have mercy upon them both. They said that for the reason and need and removing the burden of the people and the general maslaha, the family can meet in one place and people can come and give them condolences. This is the second, the third opinion, which is we prefer that, especially here living in the Western countries. All of them, you'd see, they agreed that it is disliked to do it in the masjid and to read the Quran and all of that because it is a bid'ah in that. يقول رحمه الله والبكاء عليه والبكاء عليه. It is allowed to cry on the mayyit. It is allowed to cry on the mayyit. غير مكروه إذا لم يكن معه ندب ولا نياحة. It is not disliked if it is not accompanied with wailing and if it is not accompanied with wailing and screaming and extreme high voices of crying and wailing and screaming. So here he said walbuka'u, meaning crying on the dead, it is not disliked as long as it is not accompanied with wailing and screaming and so on and so forth. And this is by ijma' of Ahlul Ilm. An-Nawawi narrated this ijma' and other ulama said that wailing and that it is not allowed. They said the crying is allowed and it is not disliked as long as it is not accompanied by wailing and so on and so forth. Also, there is a hadith muttafaq alayh that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his son Ibrahim passed away, he said, "Inna al-ayna tadma," indeed the eye would shed a tear. "Wal-qalba yahzan," and the heart feels sad. "Wala naqulu illa ma yurdi rabbana," we do not say except what pleases our Lord. "Wa inna bifiraqika ya Ibrahim lamahzunun," indeed by your absence, O Ibrahim, and leaving you, O Ibrahim, we are saddened. And we see here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed crying, and he himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried. Also, the prohibition of wailing, it is clear in the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Arba'un fi ummati min amri al-jahiliyyah," four affairs or four matters from the matters of the jahiliyyah, "la yatrukunahun," they would not abandon them. "Al-fakhru fil ahsab," showing off with their family and lineage. "Wat-ta'nu fil ansab," and accusing chastity and lineage. "Wal-istisqa'u bin nujum," seeking rain through the stars. "Wal-niyaha," wailing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the na'iha in the hadith collected by Sahih Muslim, "An-na'ihatu إِذَا لَمْ تَتُبْ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهَا تُقَامُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَعَلَيْهَا سِرْبَالٌ مِّنْ قَتِرَانٌ وَدِرْعٌ مِّنْ جَرَبٌ." The woman that wails, if she doesn't repent before she dies, she'll be resurrected on the day of judgment wearing sirbal, meaning a garment from qatiran, which is like tar, black tar, burning tar, and dir', which is the upper part, the dress of the upper part of the body, from jarab, which is wal'iyadu billah, a disease like a plague, and so. طيب. And also, some scholars said it is mujma' alayh, al-ijma' consensus that it is haram for the wailing, which is collected by al-Nawawi rahimahullah. Yaqulu rahimahullah, wala ba'sa bi ziyarati al-qubur lil-rijal. He said there is no harm in men visiting the graves. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Zuru al-qubur fa innaha tudhakkiru al-maut." Visit the graves, indeed it reminds you with death. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said and allowed visiting the graves. He said, indeed, it reminds you with the hereafter, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and would remind you with death. And ziyarat al-qubur, it is mustahabba for men by consensus, which is narrated by Ibn Taymiyyah and also al-Nawawi in al-Majmu'. So here we have an issue which is for men is mustahab. What about for women? For women, the ulama are on two opinions. So as for women visiting the grave, the jumhur is said it is disliked. The majority said it is disliked. Of course, they used a lot of proofs, but some of the main proof they used the hadith of Abu Huraira narrated by Imam Ahmad, authenticated by Al-Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. He said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse the women who frequently visit the graves. Why? Because the women, they have a lot of sorrow and sadness and they cry and so on and so forth. And that's why here they said it is makruh and disliked. Of course, here al-Ahnaf and others, as I will explain, they said it is actually mustahab. It is mustahab because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I have forbidden you from visiting the graves. Now, so and visit it because it reminds you with the hereafter. You see, of course, some of the ulama of al-Shafi'iyya, like al-Ramli rahimahullah, he said, if this visit is to frequently cry and sadness as they usually do, like women usually do, it is not allowed. And this is how Rahimahullah al-Ramli said this is how the hadith should be understood. The ones who frequently visit the graves, as we mentioned. He said, وَإِنْ كَانَ لِلْإِعْتِبَارِ وَالتَّرَحُمِ مِنْ غَيْرِ بُكَاءٍ فَلَا بَأْسِ. But if it is for learning a lesson and reflecting on the matter, then there is no issue to visit it. And also, Imam Ahmad, in one of the narrations from him, that is narrated also by Ibn Qudama, that it is not disliked for the women to visit it. It is not disliked for the women to visit it. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, I have forbidden you from visiting the grave, so visit it. And you see here, the hadith is general of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The hadith here is general. The command did not specify men or specify women. Came in a general sense, and that's why here they allowed it. Rahimahumullah jami'an. And also there is a hadith in Sahih Muslim that Aisha radiyallahu anha sent a messenger of Allah. What do I say when I visit the graves? He said, say as-salam ala ahli diyari min al-mu'minina wal-muslimin. Peace be upon the inhabitants of these homes from the mu'min and the muslim, men and women. وَيَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ الْمُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنَّا وَالْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ. May Allah bless the ones who came first and who are delayed. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught her. So here, what do we say about the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the ones who regularly frequent the graves? Here al-Imam al-Qurtubi said, rahimahullah, اللعن المذكور في الحديث إنما هو للمكثرات من زيارتي من الزيارة لما تقتضيه الصيغة من المبالغة. Here he said, the cursing that is mentioned in the hadith, indeed it is for the ones who frequent the graves and always frequent the grave, because the hadith, the صيغة, the way the hadith is constructed, the eloquency of the hadith, it says the one who frequently visit the grave. So we understand if the woman occasionally visit the graves so she can get an admonition and can remember the hereafter, feel humble and increase her iman, there is no issue in that, inshaAllah ta'ala. يقول رحمه الله ويقول إذا مر بها أو زارها. Here he mentioned the dua. سلام عليكم أهل دار قوم مؤمنين وإنا إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون اللهم لا تحرمنا أجرهم ولا تفتنا بعدهم واغفر لنا ولهم ونسأل الله لنا ولكم العافية. He said, one should say when passing by them or visiting them, peace be upon you, dwellers of an abode of believing folk. Inshallah, we shall follow you. O Allah, do not deprive us of their reward or misguide us through trials after them, and forgive us and them. We ask Allah for safety for us and for you. He said, Rahimahullah, after that, of course, if you make dua with any dua that you prefer, there is no issue. He said, Rahimahullah, about the good deeds done by or on the behalf of the deceased. He said, وَأَيُّ قُرْبَةٍ فَعَلَهَا وَجَعَلَ ثَوَابَهَا لِلْمَيِّتِ الْمُسْلِمِ نَفَعَهُ ذَلِكَ. Any good deeds the living person does while intending the reward for the deceased will benefit him, meaning benefit the deceased. Of course here, يعني لكل امرئ إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Indeed, actions by intentions. So if you intend for the amal as-salih to be reached to the deceased, then inshallah it will reach him. Now there are a few things I would like to mention since we're talking about this here. The first thing is, does the deceased receive everything or what is the issue? Of course the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that three things the deceased will benefit from the dunya. Sadaqa jariya, continuous charity if it is done on his behalf, and then he receives the reward. Knowledge that he left behind and people are benefiting from. And the third one, a righteous child who make dua for him. Now, we have three things. Hajj, Siyam, and Quran. As for Hajj, there is a hadith in Bukhari. A woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالَتْ أُمِّي إِنَّ أُمِّي نَذَرَتْ أَنْ تَحُجَّ فَمَاتَتْ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَحُجَّ أَفَأْحُجُّ عَنْهَا؟ قال نعم حجي عنها. أرأيت لو كان على أمك دين أكنت قاضيته؟ قالت نعم. قال فقد الله الذي له فإن الله أحق بالوفاء. A woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, my mother took a vow that she wanted to do Hajj, but she passed away before that. Do I do Hajj? He said, yes, do Hajj on her. Do you see that if your mother has a debt on her, would you fulfill her debt? She said, yes. He said, so fulfill the debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is more deserving to fulfill his debt, subhanallah. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed to do Hajj on the behalf of the deceased. To do Hajj on the behalf of the deceased, which is Hajj al-Badal. As for the Siyam, as also the Siyam, you're allowed to do the Siyam on the behalf of the deceased. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith agreed upon, مَنْ مَاتَ وَعَلَيْهِ صِيَامٌ صَامَ عَنْهُ وَلِيُّهُ. Whomever passes away and he still have fasting that he did not fast, his wali will fast on his behalf. Now, as for reading the Qur'an on the deceased, first, it is not allowed to hire out someone to read the Qur'an on the deceased. يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله لا يصح الاستئجار على القراءة وإهداؤها إلى الميت لأنه لم ينقل عن أحد من الأئمة وقد قال العلماء إن القارئ لأجل المال لا ثواب له. فَأَيِّ شَيْءٍ يُهْدَى إِلَى الْمَيِّتِ. He said, it is not allowed to hire out someone to read the Qur'an and offer it to the deceased. Because it's never been directed from anyone from the a'imma that he allowed that or he permitted that. And the scholar said, if the person who is earning money, the one who's going to recite, earning money for his recitation, so what is the reward for that is going to go to the deceased? As for the person reading the Qur'an, the scholars on two opinions. One opinion, which is the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and his student Ibn al-Qayyim, they said, if a person reads the Qur'an and says, oh Allah, give that reward to my family members, or يعني the deceased family member, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the reward for him. And this matter here, it's of course, there is no dalil for it except analogical deduction, the qiyas. Why? They said logically, if we can fast on the behalf of the person and do Hajj on the behalf of the person, why he doesn't receive the reward? And we can give sadaqah. If we read the Quran, why doesn't he receive the reward? Other group of ulama, he said, like Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he said, interpreting the ayah, وَأَنَّ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, and for the person, and for nothing for the person except what he worked for, he said, أي كما لا يحمل عليه وزر غيره كذلك لا يحصل من الأجر إلا ما كسب لنفسه. He said, as for the person, he does not carry the burden and the sins of others, also he does not get the reward except of what he has done for himself. And from this verse, he said, Imam al-Shafi'i derived, and whomever followed him, that the recitation of the Qur'an does not reach its reward to the deceased, except what they have done from their action. And because they do not receive the reward of that, because it is not from their actions, nor from their amal, from their kasb, earning. So this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not encourage his ummah to do that, nor he guided them to do that, nor he said a text, not even an indirect ima, yani not even an indirect way. And it is not narrated from any of the companions radiallahu anhum, and if it was good, they have preceded us to it. And the babul qurubat, he said Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, and the door of offerings, it is restricted to the text, and we cannot use أي نوع من أنواع الأقيسة. We cannot use our analogical deductions or opinions for that. And this is found in Tafsir Ibn Kathir under that ayah. And Allahu A'lam, this is the correct opinion to do that. But we have to have an open mind to accept the khilaf between the ulama about this. I just like to mention what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, so we can understand what he said, rahmatullahi alayhi. He said, rahmatullahi alayhi, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ عَادَةِ السَّلَفِ إِذَا صَلَّوْا تَطَوَّعًا أَوْ صَامُوا تَطَوَّعًا أَوْ حَجُّوا تَطَوَّعًا أَوْ قَرَأُوا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدُونَ ثَوَابَ ذَلِكَ إِلَىٰ أَمْوَاتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَا يَنْبَغِي الْعُدُولُ عَنْ طَرِيقِ السَّلَفِ فَإِنَّهُ أَفْضَلُ وَأَكْمَلُ. He said, it is not from the habit or the way of the predecessors if they give a tatawwa, an extra offering of salat or fasting or hajj or Quran, to gift the reward of that to the deceased of the Muslims. So it is not, so we're not supposed to turn away from the way of the Salaf, because it is the best way and the most complete and perfect way. So here another way, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, يعني he rejected that, but at the same time he has another opinion that he approved to it, and Ibn al-Qayyim chosen that opinion. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, as you see, he took that opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, which is that the Quran reaches the dead, and he promoted it. But on the other hand, also Ibn Taymiyyah, in one opinion, he said it is not the habit or the way of the Salaf. And that's why we say in this matter of offering to the deceased, we restrict it to the Nas, to whatever came with the text. Because the asal, the basic principle of the deceased, that his actions are stopped in this dunya and he does not receive anything anymore. Except with the exceptions that the Sharia came with, as the Prophet ﷺ said, three things: dua, a righteous child that make dua for him, a continuous charity that he kasab in this dunya, that he built in this dunya, and that's why he's receiving the reward. And the third one is knowledge, continuous knowledge that come to him. And of course we mention the dua of the righteous people for them, because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayah about the people, the righteous people, they say, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Surah Al-Hashr verse 10, and the generation who came after them, they said, oh, our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us with Iman. So here we see that you can make dua, and we said al-sadaqa al-jariya, and we said a knowledge that he leaves behind, and to fulfill their fasting that they could not fulfill. And some ulama said it is general, you can fast on their behalf. Thirdly, we said the hajj, and it is restricted to that, and we cannot go over that. We only take what is come in the Nas. Jazakumullah khair, and inshaAllah next week we start Kitab al-Zakat. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.